Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, December 27th. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this afternoon is Dr. Bridget Finn. Dr. Finn is a licensed sex therapist, educator, and researcher. She's here to answer your questions about sexual health, relationships, and how it can affect your health overall. We always get a lot of calls on this program, especially now that Dr. Finn is back. So get your questions in now. The number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Finn, your calls, much more, all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello, once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. The World Health Organization defines sexual health as being a state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It is not merely the absence of disease, dysfunction, or infirmity. Joining us in the studio today is Dr. Bridget Finn. She's the founder and president of the Capital Region Center for Sexual Health. She specializes in therapy for couples and individuals. She has 30 years of experience in counseling and improving relationships, both inside and outside the bedroom. Dr. Finn earned a doctorate in human sexuality from University of Pennsylvania, is a guest lecturer at SUNY Medical College, at Albany Medical College in the Behavioral Psychiatry, Obstetrics and Gynecology, and Family and Community Medicine departments. She provides training for medical students, resident physicians, and faculty on sexual health and functioning. Dr. Bridget Finn, welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Well, you were a great hit when you were here the last time.
Wonderful.
And so we decided we really had run out of time. It would be great to have you back. I just wanted to ask you something off the top of the show, and that is that sex as a concept has a great deal to do with relationships, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Relationships, sexual functioning is something that you need to consider within the context of the relationship that you're within. So when we're working with individuals and couples around intimacy, both emotional and physical, we want to be sure that the relationship is healthy and thriving. So everything's interconnected between the body functioning, the relationship functioning. Everything goes hand in hand.
Well, you're a therapist.
Correct.
And, you know, there's such a thing as sadomasochistic relationships. Mm-hmm. And you just said we want to make sure everything is healthy. Mm-hmm. What if it isn't healthy?
Well, if it takes two people to decide what's working for them. So there could be a relationship that you're looking at from your perspective and thinking, well, gee, that wouldn't really be something that would be for me. But if two people are in a relationship and they've decided that it suits them in terms of behaviors and values and communication, then it works. It takes one person to be unhappy or to be looking for something different for it to start having some problems.
Interesting. Very interesting. We have some people getting on the phone with us now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I want to get as many people in today as we possibly can. Again, 1-800-348-2551. Here's one which has come in over the internet, so I wondered if I could read it to you.
Sure.
Bridget, my wife had a year-long affair with another man. She made a choice to recommit to me and our three children. Subsequently, I found reason to believe that this was not the only time she was unfaithful, it says, but unfaithful in our past, though she denies it. She was also back in touch with her affair partner recently. Her need to be with other men seems to be a pattern. We are both in our 30s. She's a great mother. She and I have a healthy sex life, and she seems generally happy. She's loving to me. By all accounts, we have a good life. We went to therapy together for a while. She chose to stop, and we use tools to keep our marriage strong. So my question is this. What is the desire of hers to keep bringing our family to the brink by needing other men? I feel I've done all I can. Any advice would be helpful.
Well, the desire that she has to engage outside of your marriage is only something for her to answer. She would need to do some real soul searching and some real authentic work to answer that question of why this seems to be a pattern. My question would be to the individual who sent in the inquiry in terms of what is it that's going to make it too much and what is the bottom line for this individual in terms of staying or in terms of going. When the pattern has been repeated over time, a couple and an individual can only take so much before they decide that maybe this is too much and I need to move forward and do something different, whether that be end the relationship, insist on going back to therapy. Decisions need to be made. But in terms of her motivation, that's her work to do and that's her answer to have.
Now, what about all those things we hear about called open marriages?
Yeah, open marriage, you know, again, it takes two people to decide. And this goes back to compatibility, which is very important to have that conversation when you're thinking about getting into a relationship with someone. With intimacy, emotional and physical, you want to have a conversation about what will our relationship look like? What would work for us? What do I need? What do you need? How will that change over time? There are some people for whom an open relationship works, and for some people it really doesn't. So it's really about finding someone and being with someone who shares the same goals and values and behaviors.
Okay, we're going to go to Lisa in Kingston. All right, Lisa in Kingston, you're on. Go.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So I'm interested if you're getting, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. If you're getting into a new relationship and you've been, you know, you're an adult, what kind of STD tests or STI tests do you recommend and how to have the conversation about that if you also want to ask your...
Yeah, that's a great question, Lisa. You know, what you can do is work with the provider that you're already with, your OB-GYN, and go into that individual and say exactly what you just said, that you're starting a new relationship, and that person will have the information about what tests would typically be conducted. And that also depends, too, upon your past physical history in terms of what tests they might recommend or might want to repeat. In terms of having the conversation, it's a great conversation to have. And this is where things get difficult because we get into relationships and we don't talk about these things because it's hard to talk about these things. So having the conversation about past sexual history, sexual transmitted diseases, all that, and pleasure, all of that, the whole gamut needs to happen prior to becoming physically intimate with someone. It not only gives you information about someone's history, but it also gives you information about the compatibility that the two of you have, will have moving forward in terms of talking about sex and being comfortable talking about sex, because that's a conversation that needs to happen continuously over time.
But isn't there a possibility that you ruin the potential for the relationship by getting that clinical?
Well, you can get clinical, but you can also get clinical in certain ways. You can have fun talking about it. You don't have to be ultimately deadly serious, but you are talking about your health and you're talking about intimacy. So you do need to have the conversation. But what I will say is that it doesn't need to be perfect and it doesn't need to be graceful. It's not an easy conversation to have. So give yourself a break and do the best that you can.
Lisa, any comeback on this?
Thank you. That's really great. One of the struggles I have is if I want to ask someone else to be tested, and maybe they're not really comfortable with that, but I feel like I want that for my reassurance.
Absolutely.
And how to, you know, handle that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're entitled to have that information. That person is also entitled to say, I'm really not comfortable doing that. And then that becomes up to you, Lisa, to decide if that's a relationship that you want to move forward in, if you want to give it a little time. But everyone, you get to ask and he or she gets to answer. And then you go from there.
Lisa, I've got to let you go because we have a lot of people behind you. But thank you so much for calling. Great question.
Thank you. That was great.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Bob in Albany. All right, Bob, you're on.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Bob.
This morning, my son-in-law called me distraught. His wife of 3 years, relationship of 10 years, had just told him that she no longer found him attractive and was... thinking seriously that they should separate, and she was not interested in a therapy attempt. it seemed to have a lot to do with his not picking up on hints she's been dropping about his not being physically close enough to her for a while, and also that he's been unemployed for a while and she doesn't think he's been looking hard enough. Mm-hmm. I said what I thought he might do, which is the self-improvement that he also agrees he needs to, but also under no circumstances to beg for or appear pitiful in her eyes about trying to keep this relationship together, because nobody has ever gotten to be attractive to somebody by being pitiable. I'm just curious as to what advice you might suggest.
Well, you know, that's a tough conversation that he just had, right? So,
oh boy.
Yeah, my advice for sure would be for him to be encouraged to find a therapist that he feels really good with, that he can have his own space to go in and process some of this, and over time as well, to figure out what it is he would like to improve upon, where this is going to leave him, and how he wants to move forward. The work needs to be done with him at this point, because, you know, at the end of the day and at the end of some good work, he may see the relationship for being unhealthy as well and decide that he's not really where he wants to be. So it's always a good idea for him to find his own space with somebody that he feels good with to have.
That's very helpful. Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
I also counseled him that there's a great deal of difficulty that comes with being the person that's being left, and it creates a great sense of weakness and helplessness, and that he might recapture some sense of control by saying, okay, if that's how you feel, and she's about to go on a 6-month deployment with the National Guard to the Middle East, so they're going to be separated for a while, that he might say, if you feel this way, I don't want to wait until you get back to start looking for someone who likes me and feels that they might be interested in me, in a hopeful attempt either to accomplish that goal or to make her rethink whether, you know, she really wants him to be out there looking now that she said she's not interested.
Okay, now, Bob, we're up against the break, so hold on a second. Bridget, would you answer that, and we'll have to take a break.
Yeah, before he makes all kinds of decisions about what may or may not happen down the road for him, again, getting checked in with a great therapist that he feels good with so he can make those choices organically as they arise as he's processing some of his feelings.
Okay, listen, we have to let you go.
Welcome.
Thank you very, very much. Good call, Bob. Okay, so we have a couple of people on the line. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now's the time to get in. You won't be able to do it later. Let's go over to Zach, and we will, in fact, take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York. Offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including memory care and more. Caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Protecting the land that protects the lake. Offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration, hikelakegeorge.org. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, now shipping their extra sharp New York cheddar, imported specialties, and holiday treats for business and personal giving, waterwheelvillage.com. And J. Rich Clothing, Northampton, Massachusetts, contemporary menswear by Theory, Bugatti, Hartford, Robert Graham, and Hudson, Main Street, Northampton, jrichclothing.com and Instagram.
Okay, we are back with Dr. Bridget Finn. Doctor, so good of you to come and spend this time with us.
I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, we're grateful to have you. Okay, so we'll go now to Alex in Beckett. Okay, Alex in Beckett, you're on.
Hi, I was wondering when your partner is ready for sexual intimacy.
Well, you're busting up a little bit, so could you get closer to the phone or whatever? Go ahead.
I'm pretty close.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
How do you know if your partner is ready for sexual intimacy?
Well, the obvious answer would be to ask.
Oh, okay.
Can you give me a little bit more of the information about the dynamic of the relationship?
No, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's again, it's not an easy conversation to have. The most important thing is that you understand when you're ready, and to be able to ask, is this something that we're ready to do together as a couple moving forward, both emotionally and physically? And it may be a conversation that you need to have more than once.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you.
You know, it is a major issue.
Yes, it is.
And it's one of the things that leads to so much trouble in our society today. You know, people think the other one's ready, the other one doesn't is not ready. You know, there's verbal agreement and other agreements are different, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. And really, the bigger issue is that we have a context within which we're all trying to experience intimacy that's very unhealthy, and we're not taught or encouraged how to talk about these things, how to feel empowered to bring up the conversation, what kind of information needs to be included, and how to go about doing that. And it comes with all kinds of feelings and all kinds of confusion. And so it's, I like to say to people to give yourself a little bit of a break here, because we're not given a healthy background for sexuality, for discussing it, for learning about it, or even experiencing it.
Will, does that answer your question? Hello? She's hung up. Okay. All right. So now, sorry about that. Thank you, Zachary. We have a wonderful board op here, Zachary, who lets me know when I'm full budget. Okay. So we'll go to, Ed in Albany. I guess it's Ed in Albany. Yeah. Ed in Albany, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello. I was just wondering if males suffer effects from HPV.
If they suffer what?
In other words, we know that HPV can lead to bad things in females.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cervical cancer, I believe.
Yes.
And now they have a shot for it.
Yeah.
But Ed wants to know, how about males? Do they present with any physical or mental issues as a result of HPV?
Absolutely. We do now have the vaccination available for young children, both boys and girls,
right,
for HPV. It can manifest physically in terms of warts, and mentally as the impact of any sexually transmitted disease. It's quite devastating and disturbing. So I always recommend to people, when you're thinking about sexual counseling, you always want to be combining it with your physical health, with your medical doctor, finding someone that you feel comfortable talking with about these issues. And that's an important thing. And if you don't find someone that you're comfortable with, keep looking so that you can have those answers. But any time there's any kind of sexual issue in terms of disease or sexually transmitted issue, it's always going to impact emotionally as well as physically.
Now HPV, Dr. Finn, is something that is really out there.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. And that people who have had more than one sexual contact quite frequently are sleeping with the partners of the other, of everybody that they've had, been with. So in fact, it is a real question.
Yeah, it's very prevalent. And it also doesn't always show symptoms. It doesn't always have a physical manifestation. So again, this is why talking about sexuality has to be thought of within the broader context of sexual health. These are all of the questions that you need to bring to your medical doctor, someone you're comfortable with. I can't stress that enough. Someone who is open and available to discussing sex in a way that you get your answers and concerns met.
Okay. Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. That's the way you call the Vox Pop. And right now we have one guy on the line. We'd love to hear from more of you. This is the right time to do it. We've got a Mike in Richmond. Okay, Mike in Richmond, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a general question. Looking around the animal kingdom, it certainly is the exception rather than the rule that animals mate for life and stay loyal to their mate. And I think one could probably say the same is true for humans, in that most couples don't get married and last for 50 years and can really honestly say that they're thrilled with that decision, although that does happen. So my question is, from a perspective of a biologist or evolution, where do you stand on this notion that we should expect to be mated to one person once we say those words at the altar?
Well, again, it goes back to having a conversation at the beginning of and throughout a relationship in terms of what are we valuing? What is our relationship model? For some people, that's something that they really do want and they do strive for and they work towards. For other people, like you're saying, it's not something that they value or that they see as being possible. So it's really about having a relationship with someone that shares that same insight and that same perspective. I talked to the last time I was on the show about monogamy, and it seems to be something that most people want, right? So it's important to remember that none of this stuff has a life of its own, and that, you know, one great suggestion is to think of it that you don't bring your car in for service after it's already broken down, right? So sex counseling, sex therapy is something that works wonders for couples who come in every 4 to 6 weeks or so, who are doing well and keep the conversation fresh. They keep the discourse going. The idea of intimacy, both emotional and physical, is on their radar screen consistently. So again, it goes back to finding someone who shares your value, finding someone and being with someone for whom your relationship model is shared, and also remembering that it doesn't have a life of its own and that the two of you create and explore your relationship and it folds out the way the two of you would like it to fold out. But people make different choices. It's about understanding that it's not a static photo. It's going to change, it's going to ebb, it's going to flow. And you need to understand for each other what the value is there and what the goal is in terms of your relationship model.
Well, you know, Mike's question is very interesting in that people have been married for a long time. They know what their partner's afflictions are. Mm-hmm. They know, you know, somebody passes gas in the bed, yeah, or does something like that. And
yes,
it may just turn them off.
Yes.
Whereas if there's somebody new, you know, you're looking at this as a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Could you speak to that?
Absolutely. You know, in the beginning of a relationship, seduction and novelty are the two main ingredients. And we also have physiology on our side.
So, did you say deduction and novelty?
Seduction.
Oh, seduction.
Seduction,
yeah.
Yes. So when we first meet someone, it feels pretty easy. But we also have endorphins flowing and the serotonin is flowing. So physiology is on our side. We're actually working quite hard to seduce and to attract and to put our best foot forward and to be present and mindful. When we move into the next phase of a relationship, we go into what's considered maintenance mode, where the seduction and the novelty kind of take the back burner, and we're looking at paying bills and passing gas and all of that good stuff. And
sure,
the sexy can really go out the window.
Right.
So rather than demarcating a relationship as the beginning being seduction and novelty, then moving into maintenance, I really emphasize with people that seduction and novelty, those are two ingredients that are a must-have throughout the entire relationship, and to varying degrees and in varying ways. But we think of that as being only present in the beginning. Once again, this doesn't have a life of its own, but we get lazy and we get unconscious and we start to become not present, and we aren't continually talking about intimacy, and it doesn't remain a priority. So again, when we're looking at counseling, sex therapy, it's really about coming in on a consistent basis so that you're keeping it a priority just because you have that appointment every 4, 6, 8 weeks. So the seduction and novelty, those are ingredients that are must-haves. They're not optional.
So, Dr. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike.
And I very much appreciate you bringing
sure
in the neurotransmitter angle to this. And it gets back to more my question of not on an individual-to-individual basis, but If you realize that fact, how our brains are hardwired for novelty at a certain time, and then boredom, as you might want to call it, sets in, some people would say that there's something that's hardwired from an evolutionary perspective that makes us really not well designed to stick with one person, no matter how novel you can keep that relationship with sex therapy. Do you have any thoughts regarding that theory?
Yeah, it's a good point. And you know, it doesn't exist in isolation, right? So you have perhaps we have the hardwiring, but we have all of the other things too that we can use in our favor. Decisions, environment, choices that we make. And remember, too, that intimacy is emotional as well as physical. And we need to understand that it's going to ebb and it's going to flow. And it's a fluid, dynamic experience. It's not something that's static. So there will be times over the course of a long-term relationship where things are going to feel like maybe they're not quite as connected or not quite as exciting. But really, monotony seems to be the problem more than monogamy. And my mom always used to say only the boring are bored. So something to think about.
Right.
Great. Thank you very much.
Right.
Mike,
you.
Stay there for 1 second. I guess I'm wanted to know something. In your experience as a sex therapist, as a therapist, have you found that Mike's question goes more to the woman than the man, or the man than the woman, if you're following me here, in terms of responsibility to keep this fresh?
It is absolutely the responsibility of both people. But going back to the beginning of a relationship, we don't talk about sexual compatibility. We aren't encouraged to. We don't really know what that conversation would look like. So again, you want to be meeting someone, dating someone, getting to know them, and having the conversation of, you know, what is the relationship model that appeals to you? Is it monogamy? Is it something different? How do you feel about sex? Is it something that's important to you in your life over time? How do you see it playing out? And all of those questions we don't bring up. We sort of think of sex as having a life of its own. It sort of is or isn't within a relationship. But ahead of time, getting to know if you're with someone who shares the same values in terms of sex over the course of a relationship.
So does that mean, Dr. Bridget Finn, that you want to tell us whether you are in favor of premarital sex?
I absolutely am in favor of premarital sex. For sure. You know, sex is a powerful tool that two people can use to make their relationship and their life in general pretty fantastic. So, you know, it's very difficult. Now, of course, if someone chooses to wait until they're married, if both people are on board with that, that's fantastic. Not a problem whatsoever. But it is important to be able to understand if you're compatible with someone in terms of behaviors and values and how that will play out over the course of a relationship.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, so we have no one on the phone right now. Your chances of getting in on this very wonderful subject is right now 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's all right with me because I can spend the rest of the day talking to Bridget Finn about all the things that I'd like to know. Here's an email. Hi, I am so-and-so from Cambridge, a 52-year-old white male. I have a question. I'm taking an anti-anxiety medication, Lexapro. Ever since I began taking it, I experience a long delay in finishing, in quotes, sex. Sometimes it takes over 1 hour. By then, I'm nearly exhausted and even a little sore. After that, if I am not finished, I just give up. Question, is there a difference? Is there a different anti-anxiety drug that does not have these side effects?
Well, the first thing you want to do is be sure that you're checking in with your physician regarding your medication and its impact upon sexual functioning. And oftentimes, it's not unusual that someone will go and get a prescription and that conversation won't happen because it can be difficult, it can be embarrassing, or it might feel like the physician doesn't have enough time or whatever the case may be. But you always want to be exploring with your physician when you're getting prescriptions, asking the question, how does this tend to impact sexual functioning, including ejaculation, including erection and arousal. What I would like to suggest, something to think about, I don't know if this is strictly during masturbation or if it's when the individual who emailed is with someone, if there's a difference. in the experience. That would be information to bring to your physician. And also, if you're with someone and it's taking a longer time than when you're with yourself, there could be issues around the relationship that are causing some concern, that are getting in the way.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we're getting to some terms here, which you, if you're riding along in a car with your child or something, you may want to turn the radio off. You may want to go to some classical music or something like that. In any case, we are going to 1-800-348-2551. So do you find yourself at odds sometimes with organized religion, who may have different views on these things than you do, Bridget?
No, not at all. Not at all at odds. I think it's important that we meet people where they are in their spirituality and in their religion. You know, my job is to help people understand within their chosen context how they can have a relationship with themselves or with someone else in terms of intimacy that's compelling and inspiring. So it's not at odds as much as it's about understanding where someone's coming from and saying, okay, within that context, what can we do that feels right and feels appropriate?
We are going to take a very short break. We have 4 or 5 people on the phone right now. We'll come right back and we'll get you. Just take a couple of seconds. Here we go.
Support for WAMC comes from the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York. Working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building, a net zero energy, net zero water teaching center for all ages, tours bi-monthly, hitchcockcenter.org. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, chandharchitects.com. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
And we are back with Dr. Bridget Finn. Dr. Finn, thank you so much. You're doing terrific today, and I really appreciate your approach here. We'll go to John in Rhinebeck. John in Rhinebeck, you're on. John.
Hello.
Hi, John. Go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Yes. My question is, 2 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. She had the tumor removed. She had chemo, radiation, and the medication she's on suppresses estrogen because apparently the cancer thrives on estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, she's going through, you know, the change. So she has no sexual desire at all. It's not anything that we've done. It's just the medication, I think. And we don't know how to get her like in the mood, I guess you would say.
Right, right. Well, it's a great question. And something to consider is, what was your intimate relationship like prior to the diagnosis?
We were very sexually active.
Okay, well then that's good news, because when people are considering how the cancer diagnosis is going to be impacting them, my question is always what was happening prior to the diagnosis, and that's a good way to look at it. If you had a healthy intimate life prior to the diagnosis, you're likely to be able to regain some intimacy, emotional as well as physical, that feels great and compelling and inspiring. Now, what I will say is that could take some time. And over time, your wife might feel desire in different ways to varying degrees. And also, there might be some, her desire might improve, yet her arousal might feel a little bit challenging. Her arousal might get better, but her desire might still stay a little bit flatlined. So you're going to see some changes over time.
And what's the difference between those two?
Well, desire is that feeling that you want to have sex. You're drawn physically to want to be close to someone. Arousal is how our body is responding to that. And for a woman, it's vaginal lubrication. Yeah. So what I will say is, again, this is a combination of the physical as well as the emotional and the mental. So you want to be working with a physician that's going to be giving permission to your wife to want to regain sexual desire, and to be giving her hope, both of you, that that's something that can come back to you in the future. In the meantime, this is a wonderful opportunity for the two of you to explore different ways to become close and to maintain physical and emotional intimacy. The thing that you don't want to do is throw the baby out with the bathwater and stop connecting, stop touching, and stop experiencing intimacy to any degree.
Okay, thank you very much, John. Okay, now we'll go to Craig in Albany. All right, Craig, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? Thanks for WMC, and thanks for taking my call today. The reason I'm calling today is because I'm divorcing right now, and I struggle with trying to find, you know, like a forum to meet people. And I guess I've always kind of struggled with this. I was just wondering what your guest today says about that.
Well, in terms of meeting a potential partner, it's not an easy thing. And, of course, there's a lot of internet dating and that type of approach that goes on. My advice is to always live your life and find out and be in touch with what makes you happy and go and do it. And you'll be likely to meet like-minded people there who have the same interests and the same values. The point is, when you're living your life in a vibrant way, engaging socially in things that bring you joy, you're likely to attract people of the same mind.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Great.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Yeah, that's always a thing for a lot of people.
It's not easy to meet someone, yeah.
Well, that's right. Okay. We're going to go now to Joe in his car. Let's see whether he's still in his car. Joe, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Joe. You're on.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking my call as I traverse Route 2.
Be careful. Route 2 is no easy piece of change. Go ahead.
I will be careful. My question actually piggybacks on our last caller's question, which is, I'm a consummate professional. I live a crazy life. I'm traveling all over the place, and I find I also have difficulty meeting people. That's number one. And number two is I wanted to ask, is there anything we can do to ameliorate how men are not seen as intimate beings or to give tenderness or touch to them? Those are my questions.
You mean the stereotype that men are not intimate?
Well, what I'm saying is, what can we do to improve that? Yeah. In other words, that men don't like to cuddle or things like that, which I'm all about. I need that simple tenderness in my life.
Joe, if your radio is on, turn it off. Just listen into the phone. Go ahead.
That's a great question, Joe, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that the idea that men aren't capable of intimacy or interested in intimacy, emotional as well as physical, is really a myth, and I see it both ways in the work that I do. There are plenty of men who are very invested in intimacy emotionally as well as physically, and who recognize the value of that and who bring that very robustly to a relationship. And I also see a lot of women who struggle with bringing that to the forefront. So that really is a myth that we don't want to buy into. Men and women are capable of intimacy in all degrees.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Okay. So now we'll go to Fred in Ulster. Okay, Fred in Ulster, you're on. Go.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Fred.
Hi. I grew up gay, and we had a very closeted relationship. And as teens, mm-hmm. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
And when the world started finding out, my partner couldn't handle that. Okay. And I also know that now they have 54 different categories. It's not just LGBTQ anymore. There are like 54 different definitions of pardon me.
Uh-oh. Well, okay. Are you there?
sexual and gender expression.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, we'll take it from there. Thank you for that. So the question then becomes, Bridget, whether or not it's helpful to have all of these, you know, breakdowns in terms of LGBTQ and the rest, or whether or not, I mean, how does that help us in terms of defining our sexuality?
Well, the number one way that it's helpful is that it brings the conversation into everyday life, which is fantastic. And people are no longer feeling the need to be invisible. People are able to express themselves. People are being acknowledged. People are being celebrated. So that's the fantastic part. The work becomes for people to figure out their own sexuality and their own sexual expression and how that works for them and how that fits in with what they want to do and how they want to live their life and experience their sexuality with or without a partner. It's fantastic that it's being talked about the way that it is.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. We'll go to Mary Ellen in Danbury, Connecticut. Okay, Mary Ellen, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is masturbation considered cheating while married?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. Masturbation, self-pleasure, is a very healthy thing to do physically. It brings blood flow to the genital tissues. It keeps the genital tissues healthy and active and engaged. So that's a good thing. Once again, this, Mary Ellen, goes back to the question of if two people in a relationship decide that it's something that they want to have a part of their relationship, either privately or share together, that's fantastic. You need to have a conversation with someone ahead of time in terms of what is their value system around masturbation? How would that fit into a relationship? If it's something that's important to you and isn't important or valued or given permission for by a partner, then you need to think about if that's a relationship that you want to continue being in.
Back to you, Mary.
Both parties should agree. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I knew a woman who, it was many years ago, who told my wife and I that she'd gone into the bathroom one night and found her husband masturbating, and she divorced him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some people can feel very strongly about this.
Yes, I'm guessing that there was a lead up to that decision to divorce,
yeah,
and that there was
right.
probably some unhappiness ahead of time. Well, you know, again, when the discussion isn't had, and two people aren't on the same page, we start to do things in secret. We start to hide things, right? So
right.
that's when we start to get into problems.
And as you said in the beginning of the show, relationships become very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to be in something where you are able to bring your full sexual expression to the table and feel good about that. And you're not going to know if that's possible unless you have the conversation ahead of time and throughout the entire relationship, checking in with each other.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. One person on the phone, and after that, I'll just talk to Bridget myself. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Anna in Albany. Anna, go.
Hello, thank you guys for taking my call.
Hi, Anna.
So I'm a young woman. I'm in my 20s. My partner is male, and he's also in his 20s. We've been together for a few years, and Things are great. I think we have a very happy and open and consensual relationship. But when I try to discuss sexual fantasies with my partner, he puts up all these roadblocks. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't have fantasies. I don't want to have fantasies. I don't think about sex outside of sex, which I have a hard time understanding, as I grew up in a very sex-positive household, whereas he grew up in a very conservative Catholic household. Mm-hmm. And so these conversations I have a very hard time with because I feel guilty at many times. And society, at least in the United States, has really emphasized that, you know, men have high libidos and women don't. And men want sex and women don't, which is actually quite the opposite in our relationship. Mm-hmm. I seem to have a very high libido and he does not.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask for advice. How do I reopen a dialogue about discussing kinks and fantasies, and it doesn't have to be anything, you know, really kinky, but just what do you want to do that's not missionary position?
Right.
And so what would your advice be about reopening this kind of dialogue?
Well, you know, reopening it and continuing it, right? And so my question to your partner would be, you know, what is his level of uncomfortability about, and where is that coming from? And it's also kind of fun to get to know each other's backgrounds in terms of culture and religion and spirituality and how it's flowing into your relationship. Ultimately, for you, you want to make sure you're in the right place and figuring out how important is this? Is this a deal breaker, or is this something that we can continue to work around? And relationships grow and change. So perhaps your partner mm-hmm. over time will start to take on a different perspective and be a little more open to possibility. But this is a great place where people do come in for counseling and for some assistance on just how to have those conversations, how to bring them up, how to keep having them, and quite frankly, how to have fun having them.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna. Okay. We'll go to, Hank in his car. Oh, Hank, I hope you're driving hands-free.
I turned my radio off because I'm losing you. I'm on I-90 heading east, so hopefully I can
okay.
hear you there.
Out with the question. Go ahead.
All right. So how do you make yourself last long
how do you last long? Yeah, how? Okay. You're busting up. You're busting up. Let me just repeat the question. You are asking, how do you make yourself last longer during intercourse? And I'm going to let you go
right.
because I'll leave you on the phone, but it may be that you're busting up, so we can't really hear you. So go ahead, Bridget.
Okay. That's a great question, Hank. And a lot of people have that concern. Check your expectation. You want to be sure that your expectation of what's typical isn't skewed, right? And also that to recognize that it changes. There are different sexual experiences where a man might ejaculate quicker than others. In terms of how to last longer, sometimes using a condom can help to take down a little bit of the sensitivity. And also, when you're self-pleasuring or if you're masturbating, I would recommend that you do what we call the squeeze technique, which means that when you're self-pleasuring, you bring yourself to a point where you're just about ready to ejaculate, but you stop yourself and go back down a little bit and then continue that exercise so that you become much more familiar with sort of your point of no return, so to speak. But you don't want to be thinking about baseball or disconnect from the experience. That's an old approach where actually there used to be numbing agents that were put on the penis so that the guy could last longer. But really, that's kind of the antithesis of what we want. We want you to be intimately familiar with your point of no return so that you can have a greater sense of control.
Okay, we've got to let you go on that one. And we have only a few seconds left here, a minute or so. So we'll go to Marcy in Stafford, New York. Okay, Marcy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. I was wondering if you knew of any conditions specific to a woman where there's like a disconnect as far as feeling sensation. So this, I'm like middle-aged woman. This has been this way for me since I had my first sexual experience. There's no sensation. You have a physical exam. I have no idea where the doctor is, sort of thing. There's like that little sensation.
Okay.
So is there a medical, and I have talked to neurologists, I've talked to therapists. And
what do they say?
Nobody has an answer. That's mm-hmm. why I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
I basically just always said, my lady parts don't work.
Right.
It's like, you know, the nerve endings or something
right.
just didn't work when I was. You know,
is that true? Is it the same for you around the clitoris as well as in the vagina?
Can't feel a thing.
Can't feel a thing. Okay. Again, I really wouldn't know that answer for you particularly. My advice to you, and I'm sure it's quite frustrating because it sounds like you've talked to quite a few people, but would be to continue on trying to find a medical doctor who can help you, but also to keep in mind that as you're talking, it becomes emotional. It becomes pretty stressful. So having an opportunity to talk about this with someone who's a counselor or a sex therapist in particular, so that you can figure out ways that you can experience pleasure in light of these challenges while you're trying to figure out a physical answer.
Okay, we've got to let you go.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We are just about out of time. My apologies to no one because nobody was left on the line. I want to thank Dr. Bridget Finn. You did a wonderful job again for us today, Dr. Finn, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
They can contact me at 518-260-0241 or go to the Capital Region Center for Sexual Health, which is crcshny.com.
Okay, support for the Vox Pop comes from Intrum Healthcare. For 45 years, working to help people age in place, companion aides and nurses 7 days a week, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. IntrumHealthcare.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The-Gazebo.com. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com, and Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs and 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thank you to our wonderful Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Remember, the conversation continues at WAMC.org.